Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119 this evening. Psalm 119. As we just continue in our series, The Sufficiency of God's Word. And we are looking at how God's Word is adequate for all areas and situations of life, all circumstances. And we see that in this psalm. As the psalmist takes time, 176 verses worth of mention of the Lord, of God's Word, and His relationship to it. We are going to look this week at verses 113 through 120. And why don't we read that, and then I'll make a few comments, and then we will turn our attention to the Lord's Supper. Psalm 119, verse 113. It reads, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto the statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Now, we typically, when we do a study, we go from the first verse to the last, but today I want to just begin with the last verse and have that be our anchor for the rest of this passage. If you look at verse 120, you will get the idea that there is something going on in this psalmist where he has an incredible fear and respect for God and His Word. He describes it this way: "My flesh trembles for fear of thee." Now, this word "trembles" is the idea of bristling up or a shivering. You hear people when they describe of being afraid of something, they shiver. Or when you hear a story that's scary, you kind of go, "Ooh." Well, this is the idea of just even the real idea of your hair standing on end. This is the word the psalmist is using. My flesh, my physical body, the hair on it stands up for fear of God, for fear of you. Now, wrap your head around that for a little bit. Is that your God? Is your God so great, so mighty, so awesome and powerful that when you're in His presence, you can't help but be afraid? His glory is so overwhelming and powerful. You know, we could say the statement, well, God doesn't want us to fear Him. He's a loving God. He's a gentle God. Okay, yes, He is. But let's take God as a whole. Let's take every aspect and attribute of our God when we consider Him. Let's remember that, yes, on one hand, He is a God of love, but on the other hand, He is a God of wrath. One hand, He is just and fair. But He is a very, very powerful God. And if you read through the Scriptures, and especially in the Old Testament, some of the things that God did, wow. He wiped out entire armies. Nations were afraid of the Jewish people because of their God. Do you remember Jericho? What happened when the Jews came upon Jericho? Everything was shut up. The gates were closed. Why? It's because the people in Jericho were afraid of their God, of the God of the Israelites. You know what? We need to learn to have a healthy fear of God. Because it is a healthy fear of God that puts us in our proper place. That puts us in a place where we are nothing. We are somebody that just is in total need of God and His strength and His help. His glory outshines all others. His power cannot be matched by anything of this world. I am not worthy to stand in His presence. And in fact, when angels would come down and visit people on this earth, man would fall on their face. And that was an angel. It's because the glory of God is so incredible. So the psalmist says, "My flesh trembles for fear." For fear of You, God, and I am afraid of Thy judgments. You know, as we look throughout the Scriptures and you see this concept of fearing God, it is twofold. We do need to have a fear, a terror, a dread of God. But on the other side, the flip side of that is when you have a terror or a fear of something, you respect it, don't you? You honor its abilities. You realize it has incredible potential. And so therefore, you respect it. It's that same concept when you're in your kitchen and you have the hot stove and the oven and the burners. And you fear that heat, don't you? To the point that you respect it so that you wear the gloves or use the hot pads or you turn the burners off before you touch things. Well, that's a healthy fear. Healthy fear of God. And so therefore, as we go on throughout our study here of this passage, and as we understand the Word of God, let us remember this truth. And challenge yourself with this question: do I have a healthy fear of God? Is He truly the great, almighty God in my mind and perspective? Is He truly the one who's described in the Scriptures as overcoming entire armies? He needs to be. And allow that healthy fear of God to drop you to your knees out of respect and honor and worship for Him. So with that as our background, let's look at what the psalmist says. I hate vain thoughts, verse 113. This is another translation which would say it this way: I hate the double-minded. This idea of thoughts here in this verse is the idea of being divided or half-hearted. And the psalmist, he says, I hate the double-minded. I hate the half-hearted, but I love Thy law. The psalmist does this several times throughout the psalm. I hate and I love. And he uses these two words to contrast these concepts. He hates the double-minded. He loves God's law. You see, the double-minded, when they look at life and they have decisions, they have these different options and they don't know which way to go. So they're wavering. This brings us in mind of James, doesn't it? In James chapter 1, where it talks about how you need to make decisions by faith without wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He doesn't know what to do. Whereas the psalmist says, I love God's law. What's the difference? Well, the double-minded man, he has all these different options. He doesn't know which is right. The psalmist says, I love God's law. There's one law. There's one way. It's God's way, and you can always count on God's way being the right way. You see, the psalmist cuts through the chase, and he takes out all the peripherals, and he says, listen, the double-minded, they're unstable because they have all these different things that they're looking at. Instead of looking at God's law, which we can trust, which we know is right, I'm going to love God's law. Looking on, he says, verse 114, Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in Thy word. Now, if you like pictures, I didn't bring over a whiteboard tonight, but picture with me an umbrella. If I was holding an umbrella above me, the umbrella we could call God, and God is that umbrella. He is our hiding place. He is our shield. The psalmist says, "You, God, are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word." You place yourself under the umbrella of God, who is our hiding place. He is our shield. You stand there. Why? Why do you stand under the umbrella of God? The psalmist says, "I stand there because I hope in your word." Well, what does that mean? Well, I go and I hide under God because God's word tells me that God is somebody I can trust to take care of me. So I hope in God's word, and that places me under the umbrella of God's protection, under the protection of his loving shield. Verse 115, the psalmist now addresses his enemies, and he says, "Depart from me, you evildoers, you doers of iniquity, you wicked, you people who do wicked things, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Now the psalmist here, as we go throughout this psalm, we see his commitment to God's word. But let's remember that he has a fear of God, a healthy fear. He places himself under the umbrella of God's protection. And from that standpoint, he looks out and he tells all the wicked, he tells the evildoers, "Be gone. Move away from me. Turn aside from me." Why? "I'm going to choose to keep the commandments of my God. You aren't. You don't want to. Just turn aside from me. I have made my choice. I'm staying here. I'm under God's protection, his umbrella, his hiding place. And I will stand here because I am purposing to keep God's commandments." And then, from that standpoint, he said this to his enemies. Now he again addresses God in verse 116, and he says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." You know, the psalmist is like us, and he just needs some encouragement sometimes. And he cries out to the Lord, and he says, "I need you to uphold me." You see, the psalmist, a man just like you or me, he had difficult days, times when things were facing him, and it was difficult to hope in God's word. And so he's crying out, "God, I'm keeping your commandments. I need you to uphold me, to support me, to sustain me, that I might have life. Let me not be ashamed of my hope." Well, what's he mean by that? Well, he's already said, "I hope in" what? God's word. He believes in God's word. And he looks and he says, "God, uphold me. Uphold me, that I be not ashamed. For where I have placed my hope and my trust is truly in your word." Verse 17, a similar concept where he cries out again, "Hold me up, and I shall be safe." It's almost as if he is gaining confidence here. He's gaining confidence in God's tender care. "Keep me safe. Hold me up. And I will have respect unto your statutes continually." In verses 118 and 119, he's speaking to God, but he is addressing how God deals with the wicked that are around him. In verse 118, "Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies." Notice the things that he does, that God does to the wicked. There's two things here. He trodens them down. He makes light of them. He spurns them. He rejects them. He tosses them aside. All of those terms are ways to translate that idea of trodden down. He tosses them aside, those that are going astray from his statutes. You know, this is a testimony from the psalmist, and he must have seen this kind of thing happen. If the psalmist was King David, and we don't know if he was, but if it was King David, there were instances in his life, wasn't there, where he saw those that went astray from the statutes of God, and he saw them cast aside. And and it's evident, if you look through David's life, that God was at work. So God, he casts those aside that are straying from the statutes because their deceit is falsehood, because their cunning is vain, their deceitfulness is useless, some other translations say. But secondly, he puts away all the wicked of the earth like dross. So not only does he toss them aside, but he also removes them or causes them to fail. And he uses this picture of melting fine precious metal, and what comes out on the top is a scum of the residue, the waste, the things that are not pure, the part of the pure metal. And the metal worker would then take that and scrape it off the top, and what would he do? He would throw it away. He would remove it. And this is the observation of the psalmist. That's what you do, God. That is what you do with the wicked of the earth. They're tossed aside. They're removed, just like the dross. And the response is, therefore, I love thy testimonies. So, dear ones, this brings us back to the fear of God. Why does the psalmist say such things? What has given him such a perception to observe God in this way? How does he see all of the situations of life that are going around him? How does he see God at work? It's because he has learned to have a healthy fear of God. And it is that healthy fear of God, it's from that standpoint, if you want to put it this way, it is from his knees that he is viewing life. Because from his knees he is in submission to the Almighty God and his precious word. And it is his precious word that provides that hope, and it gives him the strength and the confidence to stand under the umbrella of God, who is his hiding place and his shield. So again, we come full circle, and we ask the question, do you fear God? Do you fear God? Do you have a healthy fear of him? Is he truly great in your mind and perspective? Yes, the Bible declares him to be great. But practically in your life, do you live as if you serve a great God who is worthy to be feared? May that be our prayer. May that be a prayer of your heart, that I might be a person who fears the Lord. And dear ones, as you embrace that truth, as you embrace that principle of fearing the Lord, you will come to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That being the key verse of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Lord Jesus, I thank you now for teaching us again tonight of the importance of fearing you. I thank you for how you have declared to us that you are our hiding place and our shield. And God, I have to say that having understood these truths, I can walk with confidence as I go out those doors, knowing that you, Lord, are a great God. I know, Lord, that any sin that may be in my life, you hate that sin. And you desire me to walk in a pure and holy way. I learn from your word, Lord, that you cast those aside that go astray from your statutes. Lord, I don't want to be one of those. I thank you for the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to celebrating the Lord's Supper and remembering your death, burial, and resurrection, may you plant deep within our hearts this truth that we have a healthy fear of you. In Jesus' name, amen.